It's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
Tell me what you want, what you really, really want.
Welcome, everybody, to Money for Lunch. It's good to have you here. Just doing a little Spice Girls. For some reason, it got into my head. It's one of those things where you hear a song or something and it just stays there. So I thought I'd share it with you. Tell me what you want, what you really, really want. Not that I'm doing the song any justice, but I figure worst case scenario, you'll also start remembering that song and it'll also just rattle around your head the rest of the day. Kind of like, oh, Ricky, you're so fine. You're so fine. You brother of mine. Oh, Ricky. Maybe it was Ricky. Anyway, I'm in a silly mood this morning. It is, school has started here in Arizona. Some schools started last week. The rest of them are starting this week. I'm a little giddy with excitement. My wife and I, we have a total of five kids, and we're almost empty nesters. We have a set of twins at home, and for those who have twins or triplets, you know, it can be a lot of work when they're young, but they certainly are a lot of fun as they get older, and you see how they think and do things quite differently. All right, so this weekend, I was invited to go see Mission Impossible's latest installment, and it's not a bad movie. It's not a bad movie at all. The most impressive thing about Mission Impossible is that Tom Cruise does his own stunts. He's kind of like into it, right? He'll do these crazy things. So there is a helicopter scene in this movie that is crazy, right? There's a couple of scenes, but one of them that has to do with this helicopter chase. Tom Cruise went and became a certified or whatever it's called, licensed helicopter pilot, and it took him 3 months, you know, working 8 hours a day to get that done. The other thing in the movie is they do a halo jump, which is, high altitude, low openings, which halo stands for. And it's basically a military move. And so again, he prepared himself by doing like, I think he had to do like, there's a 30-day training program. And during that 30-day training program, he was jumping because he has to do it a lot faster or whatever, compressed time. He was doing 10, 15, 20 jumps a day. And that to me is impressive. I mean, I don't care who you are, when you are that committed bringing that kind of level to whatever you do, whether it's making a movie, writing a book, being a coach, a consultant, whatever that is, I have to say bravo, right? You have to take your hat off, standing ovation, whatever it is. It's a certain mindset that it goes beyond just pure motivation, right? That's a mindset. So today's quote of the day, leading to today's quote of the day: motivation is what gets you started. Commitment is what keeps you going. That is by Jim Rohn. Motivation is what gets you started. Commitment is what keeps you going. And I'll even add to that, and that is, there's a difference, I think, between commitment and a high standard, right? So with that, ladies and gentlemen, let's get this show started. My guest today is Alex Charfin. Alex Charfin, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. Why don't you get us started? Why don't you tell us a little about yourself and your background?
Sure, Bert. I am a consultant and information products person, and so I help entrepreneurs build teams. And Bert, you know, most of my life I've been that person who has always run businesses. Ever since I was a young kid, I've been running businesses. And I've studied successful people obsessively my entire life. And a few years ago, I wrote a body of content called The Entrepreneurial Personality Type that describes the most important people in the world. And if I had to sum up, you know, who I am and fast enough to be on a radio show, it would be that, you know, I think I can tell entrepreneurs more about themselves than anybody ever has. And I feel like, you know, when you look at the world in general, entrepreneurs are the most important people out there because we are the only source of consistent positive human evolution, and we always will be.
Say that again.
Entrepreneurs are the only source of consistent positive human evolution, and we always will be.
Ooh, I love that, man. That is just that is deep. I love that. That's very, very interesting. I just think that's very deep. So yeah, that kind of just gives me the, you know, goosebumps when you said it. I think it's so true. I mean, when you look at innovation in America, anything, it was created by an entrepreneur. And I don't care if it was somebody in medicine, I don't care if it was in fitness, whatever, it was an entrepreneur behind it. Go ahead.
Well, I'll take it one step further than that, Bert. Everybody who's listening to us right now, your life was made possible by entrepreneurs. There's a small percentage of the population, and it's smaller than most people think, who get up every day, go into the future, imagine a new reality, then come back to the present and put up with the exposure and the criticism and the vulnerability it takes to make it real. And that is what evolves humanity. And throughout history, we've been the people who have been seen as different and separate and, you know, every one of us has been told to sit down, shut up, and stop making everyone else uncomfortable. And the fact is, we should disavow all of that, press forward, and do what we've done throughout history, make humanity survive and make this world a better place.
Yeah. Hoorah. I love that. Well, you know what? And what you say there is so interesting because you're right. When you look at the indoctrination that happens, I don't care if it's public school or private school, because it's not, you have a little bit more leeway in private school. My kids have gone to both private and public school. And so in private school, they tolerate a little bit more outside the box or outside the line kind of thinking. But again, just a little bit. For the most part, you're right. They want you to shut up and listen and fall in place. And again, a lot of that is when you are one teacher and you have, you know, 30 or 40 or 50 kids in your class and they're all rowdy and, you know, they're just being kids. You don't have the resources or the time to get them, I guess, inspired, for lack of better terms. I don't know what, you know, but you, you know, it's a very difficult thing. What's that?
Well, but it's so much more than that. Like, if you look at, I mean, let's be real about school today. You know, people like you and I, we either survive the system or we game the system, but the system never works for us. And the fact is, whether you're in private school or public school, the problem is both have decided that we should standardize human beings. Let's be really clear. The stated goal of the public school system is to standardize human beings. Well, here's the problem. We are that small percentage of the population that will never be standardized. See, the reality is being average, being like everyone else, having the right GPA, fitting in school, being able to sit there, all of those things, it just means you're like the rest of the population. The kids who can't sit still, don't show up like everybody else, don't learn like everybody else, don't talk like everybody else, those are the kids who are brilliant and are going to go out and change the world. But the problem is we have it twisted in today's society. I work with some of the most successful entrepreneurs in the world. I work with people who are growing businesses faster than anybody else, who make seven figures net on a monthly basis in small companies. And Bert, here's the fact. They are different than everyone out there, and they don't conform because different and and being extraordinary is what makes you successful in today's world. If you fit in like everybody else and you had the right GPA and everything was working for you, then you wouldn't be the type of person who's going to change the world. And you know, today we look at any kid who doesn't walk, talk, show up, and read and write like everybody else is a broken kid that needs to be corrected. History has shown us that is the exact kid who's going to change the world. Einstein couldn't tie his shoes. Newton was completely antisocial. You look throughout history, and the people who changed the world were the exceptions to the rule.
Yes, absolutely correct. And you know, I think there's a reason for that, right? It's the 80-20 rule. 80% of the world will be moved, motivated, changed, inspired by the 20%ers, right? And out of that 20%, there's probably going to be even a smaller percentage that break out even bigger. You know, what's the gentleman's name from Tesla?
Elon Musk.
Elon Musk. Here's a guy who's done a lot of weird stuff. You know, my book is just coming out where, and I devoted a chapter to him where here's a gentleman on the brink of bankruptcy, trying to get, his rocket ship to work correctly to, you know, launching it wasn't the problem. It was landing it the way he wanted to land it, so it could be reused over and over again. You know, he just had enough money for, I think, three attempts. All three of those attempts failed. He had to beg, borrow, however he did it on that fourth attempt, and everything was riding on that fourth attempt. And everybody told him, you know, you're going to go bankrupt. Leave it alone. You're crazy. This is, you know, it's not the time. Go back to the drawing board. You know, and of course, he had the cojones, if you will, the courage, the commitment not to listen to anybody but himself. And that fourth rocket worked perfectly. And then I think within 24 hours after that, he had a $1 billion contract from NASA. But people like Elon Musk are the breakaways, right? I mean, they are a separate group of people from that 20% that I'm referring to. I don't know what give me your opinion on that. Is maybe 20% is too big
I think 20% is astronomical. I think 20% is way too big a percentage. I think when you look at the society in general, I see four types of people. And this is a hypothesis I've shared over and over again in front of over 100,000 people live, in front of millions of people online, and I have yet to have anybody try and argue the opposite, or argue this hypothesis, this argument. And so when you look at the society in general, there are four types of people, and the largest group is what I call caretakers. It's the people who like to take care of other people. Let's see if you're in that group, Bert. The qualification question is, do you enjoy changing bedpans?
I do not.
Right, with empathetically, right? Here's the reality, though. You run into a caretaker, and you say, hey, do you like changing bedpans? Bert, I've had a caretaker turn to me and completely congruently say, Alex, if that person needed a bedpan change and I was here to change it, I feel fulfilled. I'm like, dude, I feel like I should have written a check. But whatever. Like, we need caretakers. We need that type of person. So, and you know who I'm talking about, right, Bert? It's the people who get a charge out of helping other people in the moment, in the present.
Yes. Well, look, I tell you what, there are literally an army of people out there, bless their hearts, who work at these special needs places. They work at hospice. They are literally caretakers, and they help people through some of the worst transitions, those most difficult transitions. So absolutely, caretakers are wonderful. Go ahead.
They're crucial. The second type of person that I see in the world is what we call the communicators. And here's what's interesting. A lot when I talk to entrepreneurs, a lot of them think they're going to be caretakers. A lot of them then say, oh, well, I must be a communicator once they hear the caretaker qualification question because they all say no. Well, communicators are the groups that loves the act of communicating, talking to other people. So here's the qualification question for caretaker. Bert, do you enjoy small talk?
I do not.
Right. Most of us don't. Small talk has no purpose. It frustrates us. It's difficult. However, if you put two communicators at a water cooler, they'll have a conversation for 45 minutes about a half-hour TV show. I didn't even know that was possible until I witnessed it. So you're not a caretaker. You're not a communicator. Let's move on to the third type of person in the world. The third type of person is the coordinator. I also nicknamed these guys the memorizers and the organizers. They love fine print. They love deals – or sorry, they love details. They love laws, rules, regulations, red tape. They like contracts, not because there's a deal, but because there's a contract. Like, I like contracts because we're going to do something. They like contracts because there's a contract there. The disqualification
right.
question for coordinator is, Bert, do you enjoy being on committees?
No, I do not.
Most of us don't, but here's the fact. You talk to a coordinator, and they will proudly tell you about the committees they serve on and all the rules that they've helped with. My stepfather-in-law is a coordinator of the highest order. He is on 26 different committees. I can't even be in the same room with him because we're so different. And so coordinators, like most entrepreneurs, never believe that they're going to be a coordinator. Now, if we look at our tribe, our human tribe, the greater human species, and we have people who communicate, people who take care of other people, people who coordinate everything, what are we missing? Well, the fourth group of people is the one that I believe you and I belong to, the evolutionary hunter, the person who throughout history has gotten up every day and gone into the future, created a new reality, come back to the present and make it real. That's what going on the hunt is. It's the people who are willing to get up and say, you know what, today I'm going to risk everything for the human tribe. I'm going to put it all on the line. And it's not that we feel like we're taking risks. We actually feel like we're creating momentum and moving things forward. And the qualification question for evolutionary hunter, for the entrepreneurial personality type, is simple, Bert. Can you turn it off?
No. It's 24/7. Yeah.
And there's a reason, man. We are evolutionarily programmed to be on all the time. Evolutionary hunters are on the hunt constantly. We are more sensitive than the rest of the world. We see more. We do more. We have more drive, more ambition, and we must be in momentum or we don't feel comfortable. And when I look at the evolutionary hunters, I think we are a small, small percentage of the world. And when you look at the systems, the structure, everything that's out there for everyone else, Bert, it doesn't work for us. In fact, it breaks us. Here's why. I can show you the mathematics, the actual real reason. When you look at caregivers, coordinators, and communicators, would you agree that those are real personality types in the world?
Sure, I do.
So, Bert, here's the thing. When you look at any one of those three, they exist in the present. Their focus is in the present. Communicating, coordinating, caretaking is in the present. Well, the difference with you and I is that we live for, exist in. The rest of the world clings to average and strives desperately to be part of the status quo, while we come in on a daily basis and say, how do we make this world better? How do we evolve what's going on? How do we do more, be more, create more? We are a threat to the rest of the world.
You know, it's interesting you use the word threat. I think you're right. In some cases, we are a threat because we make people uncomfortable. We don't necessarily, you know, we do things our own way. We disassociate, you know, and to drive the example of turning, not being able to turn it off. My father, who passed away April 13th, Friday, on April 13th. The reason I know that, not only was I there, but that was also the day that he was born, 95 years. So he lived 95 years, born on April Friday the 13th, died on April Friday the 13th, and that's why I remember it. But here's to illustrate what you're talking about. So that was my first experience dealing with hospice. And I thought to myself, wow, this is a really good business. And I meant that in several different ways. First of all, they're dealing with something that is very sensitive, very personal, massive transition. Most of us don't know anything about dying or hospice or anything like that. And then, of course, the entrepreneurial side, it's a very good business. I'm thinking this is a business model that I want to explore. I immediately started seeing things that I would do differently and stuff like that. And I think that's what happens, and that's what you're talking about when you can't turn it off. It's you know, not that necessarily that I'm going to do that business, but I immediately started looking at it and playing with it and seeing how you know, I could use technology to make this business better and serve more people and things of that nature. And so that, I think, is what happens with when you get that entrepreneurial personality type together, that evolutionary hunters together. You know, we love, as you said, looking at the future and seeing what's possible. So I love those personality types and how you broke them apart.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I mean, I think when you look at the world in general, today, one of the biggest challenges I think we have is that the most important people in the world, the entrepreneurial personality type, the people who are capable of changing the world, we don't show up in the right way today. You know, you mentioned you had kids, Bert, and today when you look at the small evolutionary hunters that are out there, they're being asked to sit down, stay still, conform to a schedule, and pay attention, which is a phrase that most of us don't even understand. I remember trying to be successful in school, but I couldn't because I didn't care. And the fact is, when we are lit up about something or when we're excited about something, we don't even have to try to work hard. It just happens. But when we don't care about something, it's like pushing a rope uphill. It just doesn't work. And so for people like us, the faster that we can figure out what we want to do and start moving in a direction that provides us with momentum, everything gets easier. Bert, when I say that word momentum, being in momentum, do you know what I'm talking about?
You know, you correct me if I'm wrong, but when I think of myself as being in momentum, I also think of myself being in that some people refer to it in that flow state, right? Where you know,
yeah,
you're,
yeah.
Everything you do is so perfect, you know, so easy, not necessarily perfect, but so easy. And, you know, bombs could be going off and you wouldn't even hear them. And this is one of the reasons that I don't necessarily believe about attention deficit disorder, because everybody who's an entrepreneur like you and I are probably being diagnosed with some kind of ADD or whatever. And it's because school does not, like you said, doesn't work for us, right? We were either gaming the system or we were just desperately dying within the system. But, you know, I've seen kids who were terrible at school, but were really good, let's say, gamers, right? And I know of several kids who, again, we're doing horrible in school, but if you could gamify a subject matter for them, they all of a sudden lit up because that was their language, right? Not that they were going to be entrepreneurial or anything else, but they, you know, that language resonated with them and all of a sudden they lit up. But I think that you're right. For most people who are struggling at school, it isn't because you're dumb. It isn't any other thing than simply school. And as you mentioned earlier, the way that the masses are supported in school is so bad for different people that it stifles, it kills. I mean, you know, to be told over and over again that, hey, you got to sit still. Hey, you're not good enough because you're not part of this mass of people, after a while does hurt your self-esteem.
Yeah, there's no question. School is completely destructive for most entrepreneurial personality types, most people like you and I. I mean, you know, I talk to people all the time whose children have been diagnosed with ADD, ADHD, Asperger's, autism, depression, bipolar, microaggression, all kinds of crap under 18 years old, sometimes under 10 years old. And the fact of the matter is, you take a kid who has attention deficit disorder in school and can't pay attention because he doesn't care, he comes home and he or she plays with Legos for 6 hours, you show me where there's a deficit in attention. The reality is that kids don't have learning disorders. The fact is, we have an entire school system that has a teaching disorder. It's not capable of holding kids' attention. And the most brilliant, the most capable, the people who are going to really go out and change the world, the ones who learn asynchronously, who don't show up like everybody else, who learn different things at different times, who absorb materials as they need it, those are the ones who truly are going to have the biggest impact in the world today. But the fact is, there's no place for us in today's modern school system. My kids are homeschooled. And there's no way we would ever put them back into an environment with 30 prisoners and one guard with the stated goal of standardizing human beings.
Yes. And I'm so glad you brought up homeschool. I think that this is a perfect reason, a perfect example where homeschooling does a much better job. You know, there are some aspects of homeschooling that I want to say can be challenging, can be difficult, and it's not for everybody. But I think that if you want to raise your kids with a higher level of self-esteem, then homeschooling to me is the big answer. Because at the end of the day, how you feel is more important than what you know. So if a kid doesn't know his ABCs, doesn't know his algebra, doesn't know any of that stuff, but that child believes in himself, has confidence in himself, has a good self-image, all that other stuff that, quote, that child is missing will be acquired over time. And a lot of it, as we all know, is unnecessary. I've never used algebra in my life, but it was a requirement for me to get the, quote, degree that I needed. And it was a massive struggle. But I think to me, the biggest benefit of homeschooling is the fact that you can build that child's self-esteem to such a high, high degree that child's life is easier. Anyway, so congratulations for doing homeschooling. I think that's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, you know, Bert, we're fortunate that I run a business and that my wife can stay home and be with the kids and that we've run businesses together and we're financially independent, so it doesn't really affect us that way. But I think that, you know, for a lot of people, maybe they don't have that same opportunity to homeschool like we do. But the reality is that today, most kids in school who are like you and I, who have our personality type, feel fundamentally broken and often like they're just like they don't have what it takes to be successful. And the fact is that if you look at most, not some, most, the majority of successful people in the world today, they are the people who have dyslexia and learning disabilities and don't communicate like everyone else and don't show up like everyone else and have social disorders and all kinds of other things. You brought up Elon Musk. Let's be honest. Elon Musk is probably one of the most incredible entrepreneurs in the history of man. He's right up there with people like Da Vinci and Socrates, and like for the discoveries he's making today are incredible. But if he sat down with a psychiatrist or a psychologist, I guarantee you there'd be 15 different diagnoses. And the difference between me telling you that I have ADHD and ADD and Asperger's and autism, and those are real diagnoses that I have, the difference between me telling you and my friends who own multi-billion-dollar companies is that they say it out loud, their stock prices go down. The reality is, though, anyone out there who is experiencing success, who's creating success, is not like everyone else. And that abnormality, we judge when it's not the things that we think you should be abnormal. But the reality is Richard Branson can't even read the financial statements for the companies he owns because he's dyslexic and dysgraphic. But look at the effect he's had in the world. We have to change the equation for children who are different, because right now we see them as broken and we hand them a pill. And the fact is we should get the heck out of their way, give them the support that they need, and let them go out and make this world a better place, because there are far too many people like you and I who are in rehab, in jail, or in an early grave, because when you have our personality type and you're constantly told you're doing something wrong, it can be near impossible to figure out where to get traction in the world.
Absolutely. Amen, my brother. I love that, man. I mean, that – and again, look, here's the challenge. The challenge is that if you and I grouped our money together and started going after the school system, and let me rephrase it. I don't want to say going after the school system. Let's say that we started setting up our own school system. Governments would be threatened, and they would come after us. I've seen it happen. When you look at some of these entrepreneurs that had tried to make education better, because they threatened not the status quo, but the rulemakers, the power brokers, their business becomes very, very, very difficult. The amount of crap that is piled on is more than the average entrepreneur. Elon Musk, one of the challenges that he had with his business that he continues to have is that the Ford, Chevy, and a couple of the other big car manufacturers made his life a living hell. And of course, he had the gumption and the commitment to deal with it. But they came after him. They were able to shut down a bunch of his dealerships. And so sometimes when you are breaking the status quo, your life will be turned upside down. And sometimes, you know, it's just one of those things where I think the school system, as you mentioned, is broken, and it needs an alternative needs to be out there. But our own government, the teachers' union even, would probably make it so emotionally unbearable that, you know, it's going to take a very special human being to go through that.
Well, you know, there's two ways to do things. You can try and fix the system, or you can just avoid the system. And in my lifetime,
yes,
I'm not interested in trying to fix the educational system. Quite honestly, screw it. It's a broken equation that was started after the Industrial Revolution to spit out compliant factory workers. And anybody who wants to go and try and improve that, I think that there's some things that are so fundamentally broken and so absolutely foundationally corrupt that you can't fix them. And the educational system is absolutely one of those. You get a bunch of people in there who are the ones who love to sit on committees and the ones who love rules and regulations and all kinds of new crap. And you see these abominations like Common Core, which I challenge anyone to try and explain that to a room full of adults so that they can understand it, much less a room full of children. We have these new ways of teaching now where we're no longer just teaching people how to get a result. We're literally teaching people how to think, how they should actually think. It doesn't matter if you get the answer right. We want to control your thought patterns and how you actually arrive at the answer. So the reality is that when it comes to the school system, that's a fight for somebody else. I'm not even going to I don't care enough to put the attention into it to make it work, because I think that there's certain things that should just be shut down.
Sure. Well, and it can't. And again, that's why you do your home. That's why you do your homeschooling, because that's a much faster, easier alternative, and it's going to impact the people you care about most. So to me, it's a smart move. Let's talk about this. Your book, Zero to Billionaire, is it the Billionaire Code? Let's see.
So we have a body of content called The Billionaire Code. We actually have a book called The Entrepreneurial Personality Type.
Okay, that's what it is. Entrepreneur, okay. All right, so The Entrepreneurial Personality Type, which you broke down in those four steps, created, you said, this body of content called The Billionaire Code. And what was the inspiration? I mean, was it something that – I mean, what was the aha moment or the catalyst that made you say, hey, I have to go ahead and, for lack of better terms, codify these personality types? I have to create this billionaire code. When did that happen, or how did that come about?
So a couple of years ago, 3 years ago, I was trying to write a book called Constructive Company, and it was my thesis on how to run a productive company in today's world. It was my answer or my counterpart to Deming's book on management and Drucker's book on Drucker's book, The Concept of a Corporation. And Bert, I got to the spot where in the book proposal where I had to write about my clients, about the people who would write the book, and I couldn't. Every description I came up with for entrepreneurs just wasn't enough. And I remember trying to write these 250 to 350 words. That's nothing. It's like a quarter of an article. I should have been able to do it in 5 minutes, but I kept struggling with it because the answers just wouldn't come to me. And I remember that day like it was this morning. I got up. I walked around. I thought about it. I tried to figure out, like, why can't I write about this? And here's what happened, Bert. My whole life, I've studied successful people. And as a kid, I read personal development, and it confused me because most personal development books conflict with each other. So I started reading biographies and third-party accounts and stories of successful people throughout history. And here's what I found when I did that, is that you go looking for success and you think you're going to find some special condition that makes these people fundamentally different and unique and special in some way. And you do. You do. Here's what you find. You find that those that are successful are the same ones that struggled in school. Einstein failed algebra twice, just like you and I. And when you look at throughout history, the more you read about success, the more you realize that it's the people who are unique and different and eccentric and not like the rest of the world. And there was a day, that day, where I was trying to write the description where I finally sat down and started writing, and it didn't stop. That 250-word description turned into 25,000 words. And it was the treatise on the entrepreneurial personality type. And the basic contention is that throughout history, there has been a small percentage of human beings who get up every day committed to making this world a better place, making the biggest contribution they possibly can, and they'll put up with whatever it takes to make it happen. You know, you mentioned Elon Musk several times. When you look at the criticism and the conflict and the personal risk that he has exposed himself to do what he wants, that's how we are. That's who we are. And so when I first wrote the entrepreneurial personality type, I went out and started sharing it. And almost immediately, friends of mine like Joe Polish and Robin Sharma put me on stage at massive events. I was called to go share this all around the world and to let entrepreneurs know who they are and how they should be looking at how they exist in this world. And the fact is, Bert, we're confused. You know, the entrepreneurial personality type is the smallest segment of the population, and the systems out there don't work for us. And the revelation that I had was, when you look at successful people throughout history, we all look different. But when you read enough and you see enough life histories and you see enough information and you start to consolidate it all, here's the fact. We are way more alike than we are different. And we define the entrepreneurial personality type as momentum-based beings that are highly physiologically reactive to constraint. So we are meant to be in momentum, in flow, on the hunt, making things happen. And when we feel any type of constraint, that's when we look disordered and diagnosable. And the more we stay in momentum, the more asymptomatic we are. Elon Musk is an interesting person to bring up, because when he's under high stress, high pressure, high noise, when he doesn't have the help he needs, you read the articles about him, he appears disordered and like he needs help. But when he has the support, when there's clarity of going on with what he's doing, he literally changes the world.
Yeah, not once, not twice, but three or four times now. Let's talk about this. How do your clients work with you, or how do you support entrepreneurship? How do you help entrepreneurs succeed?
So we have a couple of coaching programs, Bert. We work with entrepreneurs to help them build teams and build support around them. So our specialty is taking any entrepreneur who's created an opportunity and then helping them build the infrastructure and the team around them to make it real. And we have one program that starts for entrepreneurs whose businesses are over $300,000, and then they graduate into our higher-level program for entrepreneurs whose businesses are over $1 million. We teach them as a system called the Cadence, which is essentially three things. Forward planning, so you know where you're going and you can anticipate what you need next. Less than 1% of businesses actually do any forward strategic planning. That's why our clients are so successful. Second, we teach them a communication cadence where everyone in the business knows what's going on all the time and there is a system and a structure to follow. And then third, we show them the processes and the tactics to consistently grow the infrastructure of the business. So when you look at the average client in any one of our programs, in the first year that they're with us, average, they more than double. But more than double is kind of normal for us. We work with people, for example, Kaylin Pullen and Brandon Pullen, who own a company called Lady Boss. When they started with us, they were right at around 10 million and 18 people. 9 months later, they were at 30 million and about 40 people. We started working with another company called Gym Launch last July. July of last year, Gym Launch was about a $2.5 million company with people. Today, they're about a $35 million company with 50 people. And you don't build businesses like that unless you have three things: a forward-looking structure, clear communication, and a way to build the infrastructure around you. And so not only do we teach entrepreneurs how to do that, but I've done it my entire career. I've grown one business to $250 million. I've had six have gone over $10 million. And in 2011, we were number 21 on the Inc. 500 list. So I'm not one of those coaches who just talks about doing something. I'm one of those coaches who does it. We follow our own systems. We use our own products. And we grow our businesses exactly like our clients do.
I love that. I love that. That's awesome. Okay. So real quick, I want to ask you about this because, again, a life of an entrepreneur is not easy. We didn't get into all of your background, but you've had some different challenges. And so how do you deal with fear?
With fear?
What's that?
Is that what you said, Bert? With fear?
Yeah. How do you deal with fear?
So I know this is going to sound crazy, Bert, But I don't think that people like you and I really feel the same emotions as the rest of the world. I don't know that we really feel, quote unquote, fear like other people talk about it. Here's what I think we really feel. I think we feel like we're either in momentum or we're in constraint. And fear or anxiety or frustration or confusion or irritation or any list of words that you want to use, to me, it's an entrepreneurial personality type in constraint. We're unsure of what's happening next. We don't have clarity about where we're going. And really, if you want to break it down into evolutionary terms, when an evolutionary hunter does not understand how to win the hunt, how to actually make the kill, that's when we feel anxious and confused and fear. And sometimes we feel like we can't even move. We are exactly the population that gets frozen into not being able to do anything. So the way I deal with it, Bert, is I remember that the most important thing for people like you and I is to be in momentum, to be moving forward, to be creating, to be on the hunt. And so in my life, I relentlessly lower the pressure and noise around me. It's binary. Either the things, the people, the places and things in my life are either giving me momentum or they're taking them away. So taking it away. So I don't allow things in my life that slow me down and allow me to feel confused and frustrated in any of those things. Because when we are in momentum, emotions like fear and frustration and confusion bounce off of us. When you're in flow, yes, you don't even recognize those as a state of being. And so my way of dealing with that is to stay in momentum, because we've been sold this bill of goods that it's a temporary state. The fact is, Bert, guys like you and I, human beings who exist like we do, hunters and huntresses, are meant to be here.
Yes, I agree. Now, I want to say something. I want everybody to listen to a couple of things that I took away from your answer. You said it at least twice, maybe a third time. You mentioned this thing called clarity and the fact that a hunter, you know, and this applies, I think, to everybody. When you're unclear, sometimes that shows up as fear. Sometimes that freezes us in place because we don't know where to go next. Clarity to me is so important. And that I think is a big difference. You know, when I've seen this with just about everybody that I can remember, when somebody is absolutely clear, and I'm going to use my wife. My wife is a great, just a great person. She loves being a stay-home mom. She's just a great homemaker, if you will. She's very easygoing. She is the complete opposite of what I am as far as personality type. Very humble, very just a nice person. And when she is clear as to what she wants to do, she gets it done. She can easily move heaven and earth to achieve her goal. And I see this with everybody. And so clarity is what I heard a couple of times. And I just wanted to point that out. Clarity is so important, isn't it?
Oh, no question. You know, I think one of the big challenges for people like, one of the things that happens to people like us is that we are called risk takers. In fact, when you look at the entrepreneurial personality type, we are often referred to by the rest of society as those who take risks and as the riskiest among us. But the fact is, I've worked with entrepreneurs for over 25 years. I've coached people who have over 10 figures in wealth. I've had partnerships with multi-billion dollar organizations. And the reality is that we don't take risks. We make a move when we have clarity, when we have certainty, when we have commitment. And then we take the step forward. And the fact is, the rest of the world doesn't believe in our clarity and certainty and commitment, but that doesn't mean we're taking a risk. And one of the big problems for entrepreneurs is we mature, and as we develop, is that if we hardwired this whole thing that we are risk takers, we will start taking risks. And the fact is, just because nobody else sees the reality you do doesn't mean you're a risk taker. It just means you're a visionary.
Ooh, I love that. All right. Let me ask you this, because we're getting short on time here. Do you have a personal, call it a self-talk, a mantra, an affirmation, or self-belief that contributes to your success?
Absolutely. It's the one that I share with people around the world. There is nothing wrong with you, and you are not alone. Because here's the reality for people like you and I, Bert, and let's just boil it down to the essence of who we are. Every single one of us has felt isolated and alone and different and like a party of one. we are that part of the population that ends up feeling like there's no one else out there like us, and there's nowhere for us to belong. And there's a reason. When you look at the systems and the structures of the world today, evolutionary hunters are not allowed to form a tribe. We are, in fact, kept separate. We are put into classrooms and different situations where we do not relate to each other. We don't get to talk to each other. We don't get to understand each other. And the problem for every one of us is that we have felt isolated, alone, and broken. And here's what I want everyone listening to this to know, every single one of you listening. If you're listening to Bert and I, then I'm just going to make the assumption you're an entrepreneurial personality type. I want you to do something for me right now. Take a deep breath. I want you to think, who is it to you in history that matters to be remembered? Who are your heroes that you remember? I know who they are for me. When I think of people that I read about who changed my life, who showed me who I was, like Helen Keller and Rosa Parks and Harriet Tubman and Socrates and Plato and Newton and Michelangelo and Da Vinci and Einstein, and you look at the incredible human beings throughout history who were willing to get up every day and change this world to make it a better place. And for every one of us, anyone who matters to be remembered, anyone in history who you remembered was just like us. And I want you to know something. That is your tribe. That is who you are, and that is your birthright. And for every one of us who has had a diagnosis or a disability or a disorder or anything working against us, there has been one of us who's been in that situation, overcome it, and gone on to change the world so you can too. So I emphatically say there is nothing wrong with you, and you are not alone.
Man, I love that so very much. How can our listeners – find out more about you?
Bert, the easiest thing to do is to download a copy of the Entrepreneurial Personality Type book. It's been optimized for mobile. You can go to freemomentumbook.com. And then we have a podcast that's had 750,000 downloads in the past year. It's called Momentum for the Entrepreneurial Personality Type. And if you go to momentumpodcast.com, we have links to all the different services that provide it.
I love it, man. I love it. So if you want to get the book, you're going to go to where again?
Freemomentumbook.com.
Freemomentumbook.com. And if you want to get a hold of the podcast, go ahead.
momentumpodcast.com, or you can just go to iTunes and search on Momentum for the Entrepreneurial Personality Type.
I love it. Man, I've had so much fun with you today. I appreciate you stopping by and sharing so much. And Alex, looking forward to catching up with you again and seeing how you are changing all these businesses and how you're making a big impact for the people around you. Thank you so much for stopping by today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me, Bert.
You bet. Good stuff there, ladies and gentlemen, from Alex Charfin. And what an incredible, dynamic individual. You can just feel his passion. I mean, it's just like, boom. I love it. And I want to urge you to check out his stuff, freemomentumbook.com, and then the momentumpodcast.com. To me, those are some great tools for you to go and achieve and level up. I don't know about you, but it just kind of thrilled me, right? It definitely gave me some chills to know that my heroes are just like me, right? That we're not broken and we're not alone. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I again want to thank you so much for stopping by. And I want to remind you that you were created to succeed.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch and check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.